one of our advisors was formerly a Nat Geo photographer, Luis Ahoyos. He was in touch with the photographer, Steve McCurry, who actually took the picture Afghan Girl, which is like, you know, on the cover of Nat Geo magazine, with like these piercing green eyes back in the 80s. Yep. And when the Taliban was entering Afghanistan, you know, Steve reached out to Louis and said, hey, look, like there's this nonprofit, this small nonprofit in the UK that, you know, has gotten like over 200 Afghan women and children out of Afghanistan. You know, Sharbat Gula has reached out to me saying that she feels like her life and her family's lives are in danger, but they don't have the funds to get them out. Like, do you know anyone who could help with this? And they came to us, right? And, you know, through our secondary trading revenues of our NFTs, we were able to fund that mission to get her out. And that was big news on Thanksgiving of 2021.
Welcome back to Zero Rights Reserved, number 3. This is a weekly podcast about nouns, NFTs, DAOs, Ethereum, and more, brought to you by the Noun Square Media Collective. I'm your host, Tody Hawk, joined here by my co-host, Jack Wilds, and that will be joined a little later by Amanda Terry, who is the COO of Onchain Monkey. And we're going to be chatting about everything those monkeys are building over in their corner of the universe. So, excited for that. It's going to be fun. Before we dive into that, Jack, how was your week?
My week has been a little crazy. We had flooding in my basement, and now my hot water is going out for the next 3 days. So it's been one of those weeks. However, we're still able to jump on and do a podcast, and I'm excited about it.
Amazing. Well, we're talking to Onchain Monkey today. We're talking to Amanda, who's one of the founders and the COO of Onchain Monkey. So I thought it might be good for us to banter a little bit before we're joined by Amanda and talk a little bit about how the past month has been. Because if you missed this, if you haven't been listening into our Twitter spaces on the daily, Onchain Monkey was actually our first non-nouns sponsor at TNS. So that was pretty exciting. They sponsored us to do a 1 month collaboration where we would make some content to educate, you know, our audience about Onchain Monkey. And it's been, you know, pretty fun to do. So you've been sort of on the bleeding edge of that as part of the YouTube team for TNS. You guys have been making some content. What's it been like sort of delving into the OCM world?
Well, I've just found out how similar they actually are to nouns, how much deeper their project is than I had ever realized. There's so much stuff. They have a DAO. They have active community members. They have an off-chain token that they use constantly and people go crazy for, called the banana economy. So I've been learning a lot and trying to dive a little bit deeper. I've even been thinking about getting my own Karma. I haven't decided yet, but I'm close. I'm very close.
I had to grab a Karma. They're pretty cool. Well, my first introduction to OCM was via Prop House. So I've been helping out Prop House with Twitter spaces over the past year. And when Onchain Monkey decided to work with Nouns by using their Prop House infrastructure for a couple rounds of funding, I sort of liaised back and forth with some of the members of OCM and Metagood to organize some Twitter spaces to sort of get the word out and whatnot. And when we did our first Twitter spaces, I was just blown away by the builder energy. That's how I would describe it. Like the amount of people that came to the space, you know, ready to build cool stuff for Onchain Monkey. And it reminded me so much of the energy that you know, brought many of us to Nouns and kept us here, which is just like creative people bringing their skills to bear in their own unique way to sort of help grow the community and the project. And so seeing that from OCM, I just was blown away. I'm like, man, like people from Nouns need to know about OCM and people from OCM need to know about Nouns. Like, how can we make that happen? And that kind of planted a seed in the back of my head that, you know, maybe we should sort of start, you know, building that relationship, and maybe there could be an opportunity for us at the Noun Square to be part of the solution in terms of educating, you know, both of those communities on the similarities between and the North Star being so similar, so that people might, you know, start falling down each other's rabbit holes, as it were.
This is really interesting. I can't wait to see what their next season is going to be like and how they're going to grow as a DAO.
Yeah, I'm curious too. Hopefully we can ask her about maybe some alpha about the next season of Prop House. I'm not sure if they've got that ready or not, but hopeful that we're going to see some more funding coming down the line for monkey builders from them. All right, well, we've got a little bit of content coming down the pipeline from you guys as well. You want to give a little bit of a preview on what's coming down the line on our YouTube?
We have a Gitcoin Passport video finally coming out. I'm pretty excited about. We're going to talk about the dangers and the frustrations with CAPTCHAs and how this is just a better system. We're going to show you how that works. How
wait, you can are you saying up. Are you saying we don't have to give our eyeball to the overlords?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm actually looking forward to it. And the video is fun, so hopefully you guys will like it.
And then I know we're going to be working on some educational content around optimism. We had a big announcement this morning on 9 o'clock live. Our Nomo collection, which is our daily edition that we have for our community, has migrated over to Optimism. I think we're the first Nounish collection active on Optimism layer 2. So now you can mint for, you know, a fraction of the price that you could before. Sometimes the gas was getting crazy, Jack. It was like $50 a day, and people were like, well, you know, I appreciate you keeping these Nomos super affordable at 0.0069 ETH, but it doesn't really help when I got to pay $50 in gas. So we knew during the Pepe frenzy, like, this was the time we got to finally bite the bullet and migrate over to an L2. And this morning people were minting. It was like 5 cents to mint. So it was pretty awesome. Glorious. Yeah, pretty glorious. And excited to work with you and the rest of the team to create some educational content to explain how to bridge over to Optimism, how to, you know, live that L2 life, because we're getting ready for L2 summer here, I think.
It's going to be so much better for so many people. The gas will get you. The gas will get you. It doesn't even, I mean, you remember, I don't know, when things really popped off a couple of years ago, gas prices that we were willing to pay at that time, $300 in gas. I mean, I love looking at how much gas we spent over our, it's wild.
You love looking? There's a site where it will tell you how much gas you've spent, and I guarantee you do not want to check that site if you don't have a good
bad.
Day. It's bad. I feel like in a way, it's kind of like the Bitcoin pizza of our story, you know, because you know, if nobody ever paid Bitcoin for a pizza, then Bitcoin wouldn't maybe be what it is today. So someone had to make that sacrifice, and hopefully those of us that spent you know, thousands of dollars in gas on the Ethereum blockchain in 2021 will go down history as the Bitcoin pizzas of Ethereum. We kept the lights on for you guys. All right, when you're looking back,
people look back and be like, those guys just didn't know what was up at all.
Maybe
a bad idea.
Well, when Ethereum is like at $1 million per Ethereum, they'll be like, these idiots. Look how much they spent on gas in 2021. All right. Okay, well, let's jump right into it. I think Amanda's going to be joining us pretty soon here, so we'll jump over and learn together about On-Chain Monkey. Let's do it. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you so much. So glad. Honored to be on your show.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. We always like to start these shows by focusing a little bit on the guests themselves. So I'd love to hear, if you could, just a little bit about your story. How did you come to be working full-time in Web3 with On-Chain Monkey?
Sure. So I have about 20 years experience in Web2. So now X, but formerly Twitter, NBC, and like five other kind of startups. And I've known Bill Tai, who is our chairman and co-founder, for about 10 years through his nonprofit ACTI Global, which is a bunch of tech entrepreneurs who like to kiteboard around the world. And kind of our mission is around economic empowerment via entrepreneurship and ocean conservation. And, you know, he connected me with Danny in May 2021. And so we co-founded On-Chain Monkey together. So Danny Yang is our CEO. I'm COO. Bill is our chairman. Just quick background on Danny's background. You know, he was the founder of the Stanford Bitcoin Meetup in 2013. He created MyCoin, which is the largest cryptocurrency exchange in Taiwan. Really, the three of us decided to combine our superpowers because we believed that Web3 could create wealth for communities and also do real world good. And we wanted to enable all of our holders to create wealth that would then enable them to help their families and their local communities and maybe make even impact on a larger scale. So that was really the founding story behind MetaGood. And then that was May 2021. And then we launched On-Chain Monkey in September 2021 as the first 10,000 profile pick in a single Ethereum transaction. So that was all coded SVG files on-chain by Danny Yang, my co-founder. And then because it was all on-chain, when the Ordinals protocol came out in February, he was able to very quickly inscribe all 10,000 of those monkeys to Bitcoin through the Ordinals protocol. So we're the first 10,000 inscribed on Bitcoin. And then we can get into this a little bit more, but then, you know, we launched the first collection using Recursion 3D animated interactive on Sats from like January 2009, which was OCM Dimensions, which was kind of like your Genesis Monkey, but it's 3D and it's kind of the bust is going around in a circle. So, and the eyes follow you. So, yeah, very that's cool. A little bit about my background and a little bit about Onchain Monkey.
Cool. Plus, you got the Karma collection too. Got to give Karma some love. We got a couple Karma monkeys here. So
yeah, we love Karma. I mean, basically, it's kind of funny. We always talk about being at the intersection of technology, art, and community, and kind of really cutting edge on all of those levels. And while we started with Danny coding, you know, technology with Genesis, and that will always be kind of our OG collection. We had one of our holders post a derivative of his Genesis monkey, and it got so many likes on Twitter that we reached out to him and we said, hey, what are you doing? Would you want to help us create art? You know, we kind of swung in the other direction, like, let's create the best art we can for these monkeys. And so we were just fortunate that he was one of the lead animators behind the films Rio, Ice Age, and Ferdinand. So, you know, if you have kids, you've probably seen some combination of those, or if not, just really cool, I mean, you know, award-winning animation team. And they worked on hand-painting those monkeys for about 9 months. So I agree. I love the features of Karma. You know, he ended up hiring his boss and then another colleague, and the three of those guys just went to work to create the Karma collection. So we're super fortunate to have, you know, Genesis, Karma, and now Dimensions, and more to come on Bitcoin.
I don't know if you saw, but we picked up a pretty handsome looking Karma monkey from the floor, and we're giving it away this week at TNS for an art contest winner. So
I did see that, and I saw all the cool, like I saw some really cool tweets last week that your community was doing. Those are awesome. So, yeah, I love that.
We're having a really hard time judging.
I'd love to hear more of the genesis of that, too. So, like, our community, I'm sure, will listen to this as well. So they understand, like, where did this come from? And, you know, I think I retweeted some of the cool ones that I saw.
Well, it's been a really cool collaboration, actually. And I wanted to ask about that later, but I think we can just jump to it right now. Because we were sponsored by Small Grants within Onchain Monkey to basically collaborate and promote and educate about Onchain Monkey for the month of July. And as announced, where we are a decentralized media collective, and we are funded by Nouns, but our sort of North Star is to become, you know, a decentralized media collective that has, you know, many different funders so that we can, you know, concentrate on talking about, you know, other organizations that are doing good in the space and CC0 in general and what the importance of Onchain and all these different things. And so when we started learning a lot more about Onchain Monkey, particularly when you guys did a Prop House round in collaboration with Nouns, where you used Nouns infrastructure with Prop House to run a couple rounds of funding for builders, I started to learn, you know, more about how you guys work, and also more about your community and how many earnest builders they were. And frankly, like on those spaces, it just reminded me so much of the energy within Nouns. I was like, okay, we got to kind of like meld these two communities and let people know how similar they are. So we put up a prop actually in your second prop house and just missed getting funded there for a collaboration. And then we decided to apply to your small grants committee, and we're super happy to get funded by them for a 1 month sort of trial to make some content and try to bridge our communities together. And so that's where, you know, a lot of this content that we've been working on this month, we did the art contest, which was really awesome. And Seth here, who's with me, created two really amazing YouTube videos, one about the bananas economy and one about the social impact work that you guys have been doing.
I saw those.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, like, in some ways, I mean, I guess it's a good sign. There is so much happening in our DAO that sometimes I feel like things are just happening. And I'm like, oh, well, where did this come from? Like, I was like, it's hard to keep up with all the things that are happening, both, you know, Small Grants Committee and then, you know, formerly Prop House. But then you kind of just see the fruition of all the work that the community's been doing in terms of, you know, especially the people that volunteer to be on Small Grants Committee to look through these proposals. And, you know, we did have a DAO coordinator. It was our first. So we've done two seasons, right, of Prop House.
Yeah.
We're about to enter our third season. But, you know, during the second season, we hired a DAO coordinator from the DAO. He was a contractor for the DAO to really, like, interface with the community, have open office hours, answer people's questions, help them with their proposals, help them route whether something should be Prop House or Small Grants Committee, kind of help steer some consensus for Small Grants Committee, because all those people are volunteers. And so, yeah, it's just, it's great to, and, you know, we would have, I have a daily catch up with him on like what's happening, what was happening in the community. But yeah, it's just, it's exciting, right? To like kind of see things actually, you know, come to life through the DAO.
Well, Seneca, yeah, who is one of the founders of Nouns and also is the product lead and founder of Prop House, often people would ask him, you know, what makes a good Prop House round? Like, because it's open to anybody. Anybody can run a Prop House round for their community. But what makes a good Prop House round? And it comes down to who's championing the round. Like, who's going to actually get the builders interested? Who's going to be open for questions? And so I think the fact that you guys had Julian and you had someone there for your community to sort of bounce ideas off of made the success of your rounds. And that's why you got so many awesome submissions over those two seasons.
For sure. I mean, he was doing like Twitter spaces. He would do voice Discord chats with the community. And then also just we started, you know, doing Twitter. He did a newsletter just on his own initiative. He's like, let's start doing an OCM DAO newsletter. So important to have that, because otherwise before him, I think in the first season, we had a handful of employees that were like part-time trying to do all those things. And it was like great to be able to consolidate that into a single person really whose mission was to help make the DAO successful and help, you know, answer questions for the community and encourage people to apply for funding and, you know, help them wherever they needed help.
I feel like it's so important to help people understand how DAOs actually work and, you know, guide them in a direction that makes sense. Sometimes that gets lost in a lot of different DAOs. But I have a question. You did drop some alpha with season 3 coming soon. Do you guys have the actual season yet? I know the last one was building the banana economy. Is there any more of like what the next season will be?
Yeah. So we have spent quite a bit, like I was just trying to dig up the numbers as we're talking, but we spent a lot like the last two seasons from Prop House and SGC. So I think it was, 70 ETH each season roughly, plus, you know, paying for DAO coordinator, plus some other things. So, you know, we've decided this third season to kind of, you know, in fact, right now it's ongoing, the vote for, you know, the OCM DAO coordinator for this season. We did pass the funding for Small Grants Committee. Those people have been elected. So there still will be like smaller grants available for the community. But to kind of take analysis and look at, you know, over the 100 projects that have been funded, and figure out like what's worked, what's actually made impact, what's, you know, sustainable from a DAO perspective, right? Like the idea is not just to be grants that keep going out the door without stuff coming back. And so, you know, really for season 3, it's kind of a time for us to like reflect and analyze. And that's, you know, what the role we want of the DAO coordinator for the next kind of next season to be. And then, you know, on a go forward and also make recommendations, like, are there things we should be doing differently from a governance perspective, right? Like, we want to be decentralized, but at least for the first two seasons, we were kind of like me as a Metagood, Onchain Monkey, were coming up with the season themes. Do we need a season's theme? You know, first season, it was open to anyone and it was really cool. Like, I think, we had some people that were not holders, that won a couple props, and then because they love the community so much, they came into Karma or they came into Genesis and then they became community members. So that was really awesome. I mean, it kind of enabled like any builder to get funding. Then we tried to shift and say, okay, for season 2, let's make this a benefit of holders. So like you can only submit a proposal if you're a Onchain Monkey, Genesis or Karma holder. So those are the first two seasons. Now we want to look back and say, okay, like what makes most sense? Should it be open to everyone? Should it be a benefit just for holders? Are there certain things that we think, as the community thinks, you know, should be areas that we, you know, place more focus or not? You know, what kind of optimally is bringing in the best projects that are making the most impact for the community? And so that's kind of what we're doing in season 3.
That's super cool. I'm excited to see. And it's good to experiment. You know, I've seen many different communities use Prop House. And some of them have kept it open and some of them have kept it closed. And you know what? I think not a lot of people have actually done the work to go back and look and see which one was better or what what produced better results. So I'm actually curious to hear the results of that once you guys have gone through it, because I don't even know what the answer is, to be honest. I can see the pros and cons for both, you know?
Yeah.
It's also nice to just go back and figure out what was successful within the props that passed, because those are things that can get lost in the sauce sometimes if you don't actually, you know, take those into consideration and really look at what's happened with them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I think there's, you know, I think, you know, we want to be judicious as a community in how we spend, and making sure that, like, you know, we're looking kind of over the last 6 months and figuring out, okay, what were best practices? What could we do better? And, you know, like the first season and even last season, it goes so quickly, right? With people kind of submitting props, then a week discussion, then they go up for vote. Just it, you almost don't have time to like sit back and reflect and be like, okay, you know, what actually worked well? What still needs help? Like, what could Metagood or Onchain Monkey be assisting with to kind of make these go further? And, you know, we had a lot of great suggestions from the community. Like, do we actually set some portion aside for, let's say, you know, specifically impact work, right? Or how do we look at treasury management, right? So we're just sitting on a bunch of ETH right now. Like, are there things that we want to be doing more creatively from a finance perspective? These are all things that kind of need to be discussed from a community's perspective that are also kind of bigger picture things. And we wanted to kind of, you know, give the time some community and give the community and the team a little bit of time to kind of reflect and digest everything that's happened in the last 6 months since we started it.
So more broadly speaking, can you talk a little bit about why Metagood and Onchain Monkey care so much about funding builders within your community? Because, you know, maybe people are taking that as a given, especially if they're used to Nouns, because Nouns is very funding forward, but that's not really the case with most projects, especially in the NFT space. So why do you value, you know, funding builders from within in and without your own ecosystem?
Oh, man. I mean, I think, well, first of all, just even the probably the best people we've hired at our company were all holders. Like, I mean, I talked about kind of the art team example, but there's numerous examples across the company where we, you know, somebody was a passionate holder and they had a skill set and then we were able to bring them into Metagood. But, you know, as a startup, there's only so many people you can hire at any time. And so, but we recognize that, I mean, we truly believe we have the best conglomerate of, you know, entrepreneurs and Web3 builders and investors and artists and athletes and all sorts of super interesting people. And, you know, some people don't want to leave whatever they're doing full time to come, you know, work in Web3, but they have skill sets that they can absolutely contribute to the community. And so, what we've realized through the DAO is like, that's what it's about, is like, you know, enabling those people to put, you know, some creative ideas together and execute on them and have some funding to go ahead and do things that they believe and that ultimately the community believes is going to create value for the community, whether it's, you know, more brand awareness and recognition or, you know, in season two, there was a prop pass to kind of fund a lot of our IRL. So a lot of our IRL events, including like 3 days in New York during NFT NYC, we had a team of four people put on stuff from, you know, workouts in Central Park in the morning to gallery tours of other gen of artists like Tyler Hobbs to, you know, it culminated in a private party on the New York Stock Exchange floor, which, you know, Metagood had that relationship with, you know, the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange. So we helped to facilitate it, but a lot of the like planning and, you know, some of the funding was done, you know, through the DAO for that. And so, you know, we just realized that it's like the DAO and the people that get funding through the DAO can be like an extension of our team, right? And you don't have to come join the company full time and just be in a specific role, but like you, there's so many ways that our talented community can contribute. And so really how I view the DAO is it's in a way to enable those people to go do what they're best at and kind of help build Onchain Monkey alongside us.
I think that's a good attitude to have. I've heard some people sort of have this cynical take with regards to Nouns in particular that, you know, if you put too much funding out there, then you're just going to get people who are grifting or whatever. They're going to come and take the ETH and then leave. But my experience actually has been pretty different. I mean, you're always going to have people who don't stick around, but the amount of people that have come, and like you said, they've been able to, you know, contribute in a way that's meaningful. And then before you know it, they're falling down the rabbit hole and they're contributing, you know, maybe part-time and then full-time towards the goals of the DAO. I mean, to me, that pays for itself over the course of the project, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and that's where some of this analysis comes in. I mean, sure, there were some projects that probably weren't completed for whatever reasons, in many cases outside the control of the people that were applying for it. We've had people refund the DAO if they weren't able to complete their project. So we have a very kind of good community. I mean, when we launched the project, we always taught, and you see in our Discord and Twitter, people type !! RISE, which stands for respect, you know, treat everyone with respect, integrity, you know, strive for the highest ethical standards. So that really applies here in the DAO situation. Sustainability, you know, we want to build for the future, and enrichment. So we want to enrich our community so that they can do, you know, good in the world. And so, you know, with those values that we kind of stated early on, it's really kind of helped to drive our culture as, you know, at On-Chain Monkey. And, you know, we don't have like someone policing and being like saying, oh, you got to return this if it doesn't happen or whatever. But I mean, ultimately, a lot of people, if it's something, and I think it's a very small percentage that actually didn't end up completing. But, you know, for the most part, it's people's reputations. And most of the people that got funding, especially, you know, from season two, obviously, because they're all holders, they got the funding because people already know them kind of as known entities. Like, they're active in our community. People know, oh, wow, this person already has this business. Oh, this makes sense that they would be able to run this. Like, they're capable to do it. You know, the level of detail in the prop shows that they kind of know what they're doing. But for the most part, the people that were getting funded were, you know, mostly known entities. And so that also makes a little bit of a difference. It's not, you know, just money kind of going out to the door to anybody that you're not really aware of their skill set or desire or ability to complete the prop.
Yeah, and my work with Prop House, I've seen that too, is that Prop House can be a reputation building tool as well, right? Because sometimes I saw it within the On-Chain Monkey seasons where someone would put up a prop in season one, for example, and then the next round they'd try again, and maybe they'd get funded on the third round, right? And then in season two, they're back with a new idea, and they've built that reputation, they've executed on that first project. So it really gives people a way to sort of stepping stone their way into a reputation with the DAO and get funded to do what they love. So,
and it's hard because sometimes you put together a prop, or even now, like some of the props that we're doing in Snapshot, you know, someone comes up with a great idea. It's a first iteration, but maybe there's some things that needed to be tweaked, right, before, and then, you know, they can resubmit. So we always suggest that people resubmit, because usually, you know, once it goes up for vote, there is, you know, a DAO discussion, you know, in Snapshot for a week, where then people can take that feedback and make, you know, edits as they see fit. So, yeah. You know, there's a lot of times, and especially last season, I think they were for, you know, they were for bigger amounts of ETH. And so there was, you know, I remember there was one round where, like, I think 90% of the stuff I would have wanted to fund. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, we can only do a certain number. So maybe some people can, you know, make some of their, you know, the initial, do some of the initial stuff on a smaller scale, and maybe that goes through SGC. But like, there were so many projects that were,
I mean, really, that's what we did, right? We put our proposal forward in the second season, and it just didn't quite make the cut because there were so many amazing props in that round. And so we just kind of scaled it back a little bit and went to small grants. And that's how it should work, right? DAOs, I think, should have the multi-prong attack to try to fund builders so that nobody falls through the cracks. And you guys are doing that well, I think. Awesome. I'd like to change gears just a little bit to talk about sort of social impact funding and public goods funding, because I think this is a value that Nouns DAO, obviously Nouns is a DAO that has a very emergent value set. There's many different members and everyone has different priorities, but one of the most common emergent value sets that you see within Nouns is funding of public goods. We funded, you know, Ethereum causes on many occasions. We funded, you know, glasses for kids who can't afford prescriptions. We funded an organization called Mutual Love in the Dominican Republic that does, you know, good work there in terms of public impact on the island. And I've noticed that, you know, On-Chain Monkey has had a big emphasis on that type of work as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I think this kind of goes back to like your question about the founding story. You know, my co-founder and chairman, Bill Tai, seeded Dapper Labs in 2018. And, you know, through his nonprofit, he said, okay, Roam, I will invest in Dapper Labs, but you have to create a crypto kitty that looks like a turtle. And we're going to name it Hanu Kitty, which in Hawaii stands for turtle cat. And we're going to auction off for the Necker Blockchain Summit, which is Richard Branson. And I think they sold it for $50,000 at the time. And they donated all those proceeds to Captain Paul Watson, to park a Sea Shepherd boat off the coast of Antigua to protect its shoal nesting area. So that was back in 2018. It was the first NFT for ocean conservation. And I think the thought there in Bill's mind was like, well, how do you do that? But not just like one NFT. How do you do this at scale across like many collections? Obviously, that can be a bit at odds with degen trading philosophies, right? So as a company, we're always trying to figure out, well, what's the mix between, obviously, every day we're thinking about how do we create value for our on-chain monkey community. And value can be financial, right? So like floor price up, right? People want to make money, of course, and profitable trades. But it can be social connectivity, like the stuff that we do, bringing our community together, IRL, in Discord, for like, we did a poker tournament with Charlie Lee and Owen Wilson and Woody Harrelson, some more investors. That was super fun, right? So just bringing the community together. And I'd say the third pillar can be around impact, right? So, you know, we just had a gentleman join. I just tweeted about him, Mitch Jackson, last week. I mean, he heard me talking about some of the stuff we've done with the DAO. And I think he went all in and bought a Genesis, a Karma. He just bought a Dimensions as well. And just like, I love that on-chain monkey. And we are definitely differentiated that we've actually believe in doing kind of real world good, which is very different than a lot of, you know, NFT projects, I would say. So that all brings us back to like, you know, our ethos is, you know, when we started on-chain monkey, you know, we actually auctioned one of our Genesis monkeys, I think 3 weeks after we had launched, you know, the Genesis collection. And Roam from Dapper Labs and Charlie Lee, you know, creator of Litecoin, bid it up to 12.5 ETH. And we decided to donate all of those proceeds to a UNICEF project to that's bringing internet to schools globally. So that was a decision Danny, Bill, and myself made. We're like, hey, we're doing really well off these secondary trading. It was like let's, you know, we have some obligation or we'd like to do something good for the world. So that's something we decided as a company. One of our advisors is and was formerly a Nat Geo photographer, Luis Ahoyos. He's the film director behind The Cove, Racing Extinction, and Game Changers. And he was in touch with the photographer, Steve McCurry, who actually took the picture Afghan Girl, which is like, you know, on the cover of Nat Geo magazine with like these piercing green eyes back in the 80s. Yep. And when the Taliban was entering Afghanistan, you know, Steve reached out to Louis and said, hey, look, like there's this nonprofit, this small nonprofit in the UK that, you know, has gotten like over 200 Afghan women and children out of Afghanistan. You know, Sharbat Gula has reached out to me saying that she feels like her life and her family's lives are in danger, but they don't have the funds to get them out. Like, do you know anyone who could help with this? And they came to us, right? And, you know, through our secondary trading revenues of our NFTs, we were able to fund that mission to get her out. And that was big news on Thanksgiving of 2021. But we feel like that's something we've decided to do as a company, kind of with our funds. But we would, you know, we you know, when we did our Karma Mint, we set aside 50% of our mint revenues, which is probably, I keep saying this and nobody's refuted me yet in any podcast or any media entity. I'd love to hear if someone did
give me. We're going to fact check you. We're going to fact check
me. Fact check me. I would love to be fact checked. So far, nobody has come back and ever refuted me on this, but 50% of our mint, our Karma Mint revenues. Plus 50% of our Genesis trading revenues over 10,000 ETH, went into the DAO. So, you know, when we opened the DAO, we opened it was like about 2,000 ETH, right? Which, you know, roughly $4 million today. And that's a lot for a community or for any, you know, collection to give, you know, back to their community to use. But with that, you know, the thought was instead of Bill, Danny and me being like, oh yeah, let's fund Sharbat Gula and let's, you know, fund internet for schools, for kids that don't have internet connectivity globally, let's let that be something that the community can decide if they want. Like, maybe they don't. Maybe they want to spend the money on, you know, other things like marketing on-chain monkey or other businesses that kind of use the IP of on-chain monkey or, you know, IRL getting together, right? We want to, you know, as we talk about kind of progressive decentralization, because that's what I think the DAO really is. It's not about MetaGood making decisions top down. It's not about fully just letting the community do whatever they want with it. Because, you know, I think at this stage, we're probably not mature enough as a DAO to 100% just hand the keys over to the community. There's, you know, so far, I mean, we're less than a year old, right, in terms of all the DAO operations.
Or at least not all the keys anyway.
Not all the keys. I mean, it's as I said, I really believe in this concept of progressive decentralization, right? And in Brazil, basically, you know, renovated an unused skate park in Brazil, and it looked like on-chain monkey from the top down. And on the sides, they painted karma monkeys, and they rehabilitated a space that was not used before. And they did like a Brazilian rap competition. Then they got more funding, and they actually went to an orphanage on Christmas, and they created on-chain monkey coloring books for like 70 kids, and they brought a Santa and food, and just like really made a magical day for a bunch of young people in Brazil.
So that was Deb Invest, right?
Yeah.
I think that was Deb Invest.
Then he went on and he started like an on-chain monkey Brazil Instagram account, which wasn't even funded through the DAO. I mean, my point is like these guys just got super passionate about on-chain monkey. And I love that. And that wasn't through an official nonprofit, but like, did that make an impact in some people's lives? Like, absolutely. And to me, that was, you know, one really powerful example. Another one was there was kind of like a work living space in Belize. And, you know, they sponsored a month of beach clean it with on-chain monkey. We also did something around Miami NFT week where we also did a beach cleanup, and we gave, you know, some of the, like, I think we gave some karma out, karma monkeys out for that beach cleanup. So, you know, there's been lots of examples of things we've done, on, you know, a global scale. And I would love to, you know, have the community suggest other things as well that potentially, you know, the DAO could help fund. But ultimately, you know, those type of things really are kind of up to the community if that's how they want those funds to be used, right? Metagood is the company that created On-Chain Monkey. So, you know, kind of think Yuga Labs to Bored Ape, right? So it's the company behind On-Chain Monkey. and, you know, we set aside from our Karma Mint, you know, money into the DAO. We created a offshore entity for that. And we, in some ways, serve as like a service provider. So, for example, when we hired our last DAO coordinator, you know, we did the interviewing, we hired the person, we paid the person. So, you know, we're helping to kind of do some of the administrative work behind the DAO. And, you know, we had kind of two arms of the DAO. One was the prop house that we had two themes. The first theme was around OCM brand and community building. And then the second theme was about building the bananas economy, which is our off-chain token that people earn if they're a holder and they're active in our Twitter and Discord. And so, you know, and then, you know, basically you could either apply for larger amounts of funding through Prop House, or, you know, we've also had a small grants committee, which is usually a very competitive process. So there's a bunch of people that apply. They actually do candidate statements, they do a spaces, and then people vote for those people to be on SGC. And that committee is for grants of 2 ETH and below. So kind of like smaller grants. And, you know, for the most part, the DAO is kind of operating on its own. And to date, Metagood has not used our on-chain monkey, you know, some of the monkeys that we hold to vote. So we've really just let the community vote for how they want to see things done. Like the employees vote from their own monkey stash. And you kind of, from each monkey that you own is a vote in the DAO. So that's kind of how it works. Whenever
you could kind of see it, even though it's not a perfect parallel, but you could kind of see it as if the Nounders within Nouns. So there's 10 people that founded Nouns, and they're part of the DAO, obviously, because they receive as a group every 10th noun as an allocation. You could kind of think of it as if the Nounders were their own company. That's kind of the relationship between Metagood and the DAO. Is that fair, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it is its own entity. So Metagood doesn't own the money that's in the DAO. It is set aside for the DAO, but we do try to kind of guide the DAO in some ways, because there's lots of things we're working on at the company that, you know, at the end of the day, we're always thinking about how do we create more value for our holders, because that is also a lot of the value in our company, our own on-chain monkey digital assets. So it's like, how do we create value for our holders? How do we create more value for on-chain monkey? But if there's things that maybe the community is not aware of that we're working on, or that we think could help create more value, then that's an area that we might, you know, suggest a theme or something like that.
I have another question, which might seem very basic, but your project is called On-Chain Monkey. So I want to ask a two-part question. Why was it so important for them to be on-chain? Part one of the question. Mm-hmm. Part two of the question, why monkeys?
Yeah, I mean, on chain, I think the thought there is like, do you really own something if it's not on chain, right? Like if it's pointing to IPvS or, you know, hosted by AWS, like if a company or, you know, project goes under, like, do you even really own that asset? So not to like put FUD into everyone's mind, but, you know, our belief is that, you know, for example, now when we look at Bitcoin, like to be a digital artifact, you've got to be on chain. You got to be, and, you know, what's so exciting is like with all the on-chain monkeys, it's like, these things will outlast us, right? Like, you know, someday we'll be in the ground and, you know, our on-chain monkey is still going to be living on the Ethereum blockchain. And so it's just a totally different way of thinking about collecting NFTs is like, are you collecting digital certificates for something? Or are you actually collecting digital artifacts that actually live on the blockchain, be it Ethereum or now Bitcoin through Ordinals? And so for us, it's, you know, I think it's still like people are still understanding like really what does it mean to be on chain. But to us, it was a critical thing, and it was very innovative. You know, what we did in terms of, you know, 10,000 a single Ethereum transaction, which was also very energy efficient. And so yeah, so that's the on chain thing, and we're big fans of on chain generative art generally, and just generally things.
We're big fans. We're big fans of on chain SVGs in the nouns world as well. So
yes, another thing
that connects us.
Yes, we got to educate more people on what it means, because I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, JPEG on this or that. They don't really, you know, they don't really fully think about, like, do they actually, like, what do they own at the end of the day if project founders go away or something, you know, someone doesn't pay their AWS bill? Like, what do you actually own? So that's on-chain. And then monkeys, you know, that was Danny. There is a Medium post he wrote about making of on-chain monkey. And I think it was just, like, what could he actually code that could fit into that single Ethereum transaction. And he kind of, I think there's some images that he shows of the making of on-chain monkey and him trying to play around with these circles and lines and colors. But also just everyone loves monkeys. And, you know, we all believe, you know, as much as we're all serious collectors, but it's, you know, it's good to have monkey business. And, you know, we just did a tweet about our logo, like, why is it so serious? Is that, you know, the monkeys are also trying to do good in the world. So, you know, we're, you know, there's some seriousness into our monkey business as well. So hopefully that answers your question a little bit about why.
Leave the fun for the Karma monkeys and the Dimensions monkeys. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But actually all the metadata for Karma is also on chain. So even though those are JPEG, like the metadata is still on chain for those. So that, yeah.
Maybe you could just close by telling us a little bit about the Dimensions collection, because that's sort of your most recent foray, and it mirrors what you guys originally did on Ethereum in terms of inscribing everything again, onto the Bitcoin blockchain instead of the Ethereum blockchain, and it's pretty exciting. So tell us about the Dimensions collection, please.
Yeah, so Dimensions, we launched the first 300, and you know, they are really the first NFT collection that used recursion, and recursion means that you can kind of reuse code, and it enables people to write software and games on Bitcoin, which was never possible before, you know, the protocol came out, Ordinals protocol came out in February. And it's really the first use of it. So if you see them, they are 3D, you know, they're animated, they're interactive. So you can actually use the keyboard to get the movie, get the monkey to move different directions. And, you know, some of the more rare monkeys have lasers kind of shooting from their eyes. You can turn on and off the lasers and some, like, you know, stuff that falls in the background. So it's really, it's a very innovative collection. There's another great Medium post about, like, unveiling the Dimensions of OCM Dimensions. And I recommend everyone read that, because it kind of talks about the 10 different innovations that on-chain monkey Dimensions brought to the market. Yeah, I mean, I think people look at, like, kind of CryptoPunks to Ethereum, and we view ourselves, you know, humbly but not humbly, as kind of like, you know, on-chain monkey to Bitcoin, right? So it really is a very historic collection. And, you know, we had over 6,000 people apply for those 300 mid spots. So it was like huge demand. We will have our Dimensions X collection coming out, which will be for on-chain monkey holders. So there will be more opportunity for holders to also own those. And, you know, we're excited to see where that goes over time, right? Like, CryptoPunks wasn't CryptoPunks overnight. Take some time for people to understand the market, to understand, like, what is really happening behind what looks, you know, relatively simple, but it's also very exciting because, you know, then we went on and, you know, we were the partners of Asprey Bugatti for their 8 collection. And they were looking on doing an open sea on ETH, and they saw On-Chain Monkey Dimensions, and they're like, could you do an egg, you know, like a 3D egg with, you know, shadow and light? Could you do that through Dimensions? And so then they moved on to Bitcoin. So in many ways, it was very foundational, not just as its own collection, but also then inspiring other, you know, very high end collections. I think, you know, NFT Now reported that those are the most expensive NFTs sold on Bitcoin to date, because they were going from like 20,000 pounds to over 200,000 pounds. So, so, you know, in our view, we've really helped the whole ordinals industry, right? Because we're really bringing like very high value assets to Bitcoin, right? Which helps everybody ultimately.
Speaking of buying and holding, I saw somewhere that, I mean, the original Genesis collection was a free mint, correct? Yeah. I think you have some of like out of all free mints, especially like some of the most mint like holders who actually minted still today, which is wild to me. I mean, this is a buy and hold collection.
Yes. We have a lot of people who are, you know, really believe in what we're doing and, see, you know, our buy and hold type people for sure.
Before we let you go, maybe we can turn the tables on you and ask if you have any questions for us about nouns. We'd be happy to.
Yeah. To I mean, I love what you guys are doing. This is a great collab as like kind of a first step. I'd love to hear like what else you think we could be doing together beyond, you know, this initial DAO funded project.
I mean, I think this is definitely a good direction where we can kind of just bring our audiences together, because attention is so scarce in this space, in all spaces, but particularly in NFTs. Everyone's always looking for the next thing, and there's a lot of different pieces of information competing for their attention. So that's what we're trying to do here at the Noun Square, is just try to capture little bits of that attention. And I think if we can sort of bring the power of our audiences together for good in a way is a benefit to both, because I think even though there's overlap between On-Chain Monkey and Nouns, it's nowhere near what it should be. If people understood how similar the communities and the vibes and the goals and the North Star were between the two organizations, I think there would be a lot more, you know, co-holders of OCM and Nouns. So I think we could kind of help make that happen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it sounds like the bottom line in terms of commonality, it's just like we both have a lot of Web3 builders and we want to celebrate them and help uplift them. And so, yeah, I think if there's more that we could be, you know, doing together with you guys in terms of cross collab, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I feel like Nouns and OCM, we treat our community as a community and not just as a commodity, which unfortunately is too often the case in NFTs, where people are just like, what else can we sell to these people? And that's the way.
Yeah, I don't think that ever really works. I mean, I think, you know, from day one, I mean, even obviously it was a free mint, it was I don't even think we knew that we'd be creating that much wealth creation for our community, but it's like, how do we create, you know, value for the community? And it doesn't have to just be floor price, although obviously that's like one metric that everyone kind of looks at, but also, like the social connectivity, bringing our community together, doing impact, all of these things kind of make it so that we're, you know, a very sticky, diamond-handed community, which, you know, we're very fortunate to have. But yeah, I think if anyone's in the mindset of like, oh, what can I sell people next? It's not going to work. I mean, it's just, you're just going to burn your audience and your community. And it's not going to work.
Yeah. And if you have a JPEG that you bought because you intended to flip it for a higher price, and then there's no community and there's no reason to stick around, you're just going to sell it and you're going to leave, right? But when you have a community that you know people, that you have friends in, that you're building in, they value you, it's no longer just, you know, a JPEG that you're going to flip on OpenSea, because that's like your membership or your signal card that you're a part of that community. And that's how you build lasting, you know, relationships and lasting projects, in my opinion.
Agree.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you so much for your time, Amanda. It was really awesome that you were able to join us here. This is a pretty new podcast.
I need to get a pair of those glasses still. So cool. I want to rock those.
I'll mail you some.
My next NFT conference at some point.
We'll get some out to you. Actually, I got your address from JB, but I went to the post office on Monday to see if I could mail them to you, and it was going to take over a week because I'm in Canada here. So I was like, oh, shoot, yeah, they won't be there in time. But I will mail some to you, though.
No rush.
Next time.
Yeah.